I feel so incapable to speak of the love of God. But the Bible is filled with references to it, and we cannot fail to recognize the place His love has in our belonging to Him as His own special people. Have you experienced the pride which comes in the possession of a precious person or a valued object? Notice the joy of the groom who introduces his bride as my wife, the delight of new parents as they speak of our baby, and the thrill of a young man as he is showing off my car. Well, there is a special delight for believers when they hear God speak of them as my people. That designation of the saints as the unique and special people of God is at the heart of God's greatest promise for revival. We read that promise in the Old Testament scriptures. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 reads, "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." The first phrase of that verse is the key to the revival. If my people. Do you catch it? My people, God says. My very own people. Well, they are God's special treasure, whom He guides and cares for as the shepherd watches over his flock. We are His people because of His grace, for we are chosen by His personal decision, not on the basis of our merits. Quite the contrary, we were the enemies of God when He called us to Himself by Jesus Christ. It was not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Now consider what His grace has done for us. The Bible says you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for Himself, a special treasure above all the people who are on the face of the earth. The ancient psalmist wrote, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people He has chosen as His own inheritance." Now, do you sense that blessedness which is yours in Christ? Have you remembered to thank God that He has chosen you to be His own dear child? Well, your hope is in your identification with God. I say again, we are His people in spite of our sins. It is tragic but true that God's people are not a perfect people. We sin on occasion, but sin does not remove God's concern for us or our relationship with Him. Read Hosea chapter 11. God tells how He called His people, assisted them, loved them, and provided for all their needs, and yet they refused to repent. God laments, "My people are bent on backsliding from me." Well, praise God, sin does not cancel God's mercy. If so, none of us would ever be saved. That's why He sends the Holy Spirit to convict us and to call us to return to Him when we wander away. You've experienced it, haven't you? The New Testament tells us, "Where sin abounded, grace abounded much more," and it's ever been so. You will find the true promise, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We are His people because He loves us. I feel so incapable to speak of the love of God, but the Bible is filled with references to it, and we cannot fail to recognize the place His love has in our belonging to Him as His own special people. He chose us in love. There is no merit in us which would deserve God's love to be shown toward us. He acted in self-motivated love when He chose us for Himself in Jesus Christ. He calls us in love. He says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you." As a mother loves her child before it is born, so the Lord loved us before time began. He protects us in His love. He loves us and holds us in His hand to protect us, according to Deuteronomy 23, verse 5. As we sit at His feet and share His fellowship, we rest in the protection of His love. Now, the devil will accuse you before God and in your conscience. He will tell you that God cannot love such a one as you, or that God will not forgive one who has done what you have done. But do not believe it. The devil is a liar. God does not receive you on the basis of your performance, but on the basis of His grace. That means you can come to Him even after you have sinned, and He will receive you. Now, we are His people, and it is our privilege and obligation to act like it. Listen to this reading of Deuteronomy 26, verses 17 through 19. Today you have proclaimed the Lord to be your God, and that you will walk in His ways and keep His statutes, His commandments, and His judgments, and that you will obey His voice. Also today the Lord has proclaimed you to be His special people, just as He promised you, that you should keep all His commandments, and that He will set you high in praise, in name, and in honor, and that you may be a holy people to the Lord your God, just as He has spoken. Now think about that. First, there is our proclamation that the Lord is our God. And second, there is a commitment that we will be fully obedient to the principles of righteousness. Third, there is God's announcement that we are His people, His special people. Fourth, there is His promise to exalt those who are faithful to Him as the holy people of God. And fifth, it is all confirmed by the spoken promise of the God who cannot lie. Now, opportunity is always accompanied by obligation. Privilege carries with it a great responsibility. Ancient Israel had the unique opportunity to know God as He revealed Himself, and she received that revelation but did not live up to its obligations. So God said, "You only have I known of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for your iniquities." That's strange, isn't it? You would expect God to say He would overlook their sins. Instead, He says that He will discipline them for their sins because of their unique opportunity of being the only people who knew Him. Now, that principle still applies. Today, there are thousands upon thousands of God's people across our nation who are crying out to God because of national sins. We have a unique privilege in spiritual matters. God has given us His Word clearly translated into our native language. He has blessed our nation with material benefits which very few nations have experienced in all of human history, and we have misused His blessings and turned to our own ways as a secular society. Therefore, we are headed for the disciplinary judgment of God unless we repent. God offers hope in 2 Chronicles 7:14. He says we can experience forgiveness of our sins and healing of our land. That is, the forgiveness of personal sins and the purifying of society. But the revival must begin in us as we follow these steps. First, identification, my people. Second, brokenness, humble themselves. Third, supplication, pray. Fourth, spiritual hunger, seek my face. And fifth, repentance, turn from their wicked ways. Now there is the formula. Will you begin today by recognizing your unique and special relationship with God? That relationship is established by repentance from sin and personal faith in Jesus Christ. So share the blessing of it, beginning right now. Father, we thank You for claiming us as Your own. Turn us, O God, with a pure heart back to You. Bring a national revival in our day that will redirect the whole course of our society, for Jesus' sake. Amen.